Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Joy Powers. A new documentary opening at the Milwaukee Film Festival puts the lens on the dire need for juvenile justice reform with one family's story at the center.
Circles follows Eric Butler, a school counselor who does restorative justice work with youth in an Oakland school, giving kids that have dealt with the trauma of the system or their environment a safe space to be heard. But while Butler is immersed in his work, his own son, Trey, becomes a victim of that same system.
WUWM's race and ethnicity reporter Taryn Powell spoke with Butler and the film's director Cassidy Friedman about what viewers can expect.
Before I get to asking about the film, I want to play a short clip of one of Eric's interactions with Mercedes, who's one of the girls he helps counsel at the school in Oakland. And it was at this moment that we found out her dad has been incarcerated.
I'm gonna lose my mom. I'm mad because I'm gonna be graduating. And my daddy, he ain't gonna be here.
All right.
And I just wanna just flash, but I'm trying to keep myself.
Anger is a natural emotion. It's what you do with the anger. You have to still maintain your cool because you're here for what?
Get my education, walk in the stage.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. So if that's why you're here, you gotta do everything in your power to play that game. And ask yourself, am I gonna win? Because if you're not gonna win, it's no sense playing the game. Play the game that you can win. And you've been winning so far, so you can't let one situation right here dictate the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
I chose that clip because I think it was one of many in the film that shows the impact Eric's work has really had on these kids. At a time when kids usually shut down if they're struggling with something, Mercedes was able to come to Eric and talk about it. And it was moving to me because I don't think we see enough men, especially Black men, in that kind of role. But also as someone who is not familiar with restorative justice work, I thought it was important to introduce what some of that work could look like. So Eric, if you could explain what exactly is restorative justice work and what it was like showing the process as this film came together.
Well, doing restorative justice, on its face, it looks like a tool used to discipline kids. Particularly minority kids, but it's actually more about building relationships. So I did think that it was important to get information about restorative justice and the work that we were doing specifically in Oakland out there to the world. But in order for Cassidy to be able to film, he would have had to build a relationship with the kids. So even that process was a learning lesson within itself because the kids were able to, in real time, be able to build a difficult relationship with somebody that's not like them, who it seems wanted something from them and couldn't give them anything back. So it turned out to be a really good thing. And plus, Cassidy is not just a film director; he's also my friend. So it didn't make it a difficult decision to have him just be in the room with those kids.
Cassidy, as the director, there was obviously a vision you had going into this film. Can you explain what it was you were going for and also how you ended up calling the film Circles?
Back at that time, when I first met Eric, I still considered myself a journalist. I'd been a newspaper reporter, I was a crime reporter, and I was really looking for alternatives to systems that, in my view, just weren't working. You know, if you spend time in the courts, it's incredibly depressing, especially if you have an awareness like I do of the different kinds of ways that we can be managing conflict and treating misbehavior and criminal offenses and recidivism. You know, these are usually their cries for help, and punishing them and treating them only with punishment has kind of inflated the prison system to an unsustainable point and not resulted in anything positive for society. And so I, at the time, I was like, well, I just want to fill more of these circles. But what started to happen when I was trying then to really kind of, you know, tell the restorative justice story in a clinical way, where Eric is facilitating these circles of what happened and who got hurt and how can we make it right, is that his cell phone started ringing. And it was the real world, his real world, calling from outside. And usually it was a call from his son, who initially, you know, the first call was that he had been arrested for a crime he hadn't committed. A 15-year-old Black boy in Oakland asking a white man to use his cell phone, and the white man says, just take the cell phone, and soon the cops are called, and he's arrested and charged with attempted strong-arm robbery, gets thrown in jail, spends 13 days in jail, is beaten while he's in jail. And so while I was trying to very narrowly kind of, you know, with my journalist hat focused on this work that Eric and I had agreed that we, you know, would do together, this bigger reality entered the picture. And that, I think, has really tested our relationship and what Eric was willing to, I think you had to really make a big decision about whether you were willing to allow me to access that part of your life as well as the work that you were doing.
To kind of capitalize on the question about circles and then why it's called circles.
Yeah.
It kind of takes a U-turn from doing just restorative justice work in schools, which was really, really good work, and it's really, really good cinematography. The story's really good. But it takes a U-turn into my personal life. And the kind of parallel to that is in restorative justice, the intentional conversations that's had are called circles.
Eric, I want to go back to what you mentioned about restorative justice work being a tool to discipline kids, particularly minority kids. I think it's safe to say across the country there are constant conversations about the need for criminal justice reform, juvenile justice reform. But the fact that people of color are disproportionately affected by issues in the system, it's one of the biggest reasons people are pushing for a change. So in what ways does the film touch on that aspect?
Well, it actually touches directly in my home. My son gets arrested, and the storyline with my son, you can see a transition in how he feels about school and how he feels about society. You can almost see him giving up on himself. And that's the point where when you don't have a safety net, when you don't have those people that are in line to interrupt that cycle, they go to prison in most cases. Trey, my son, was lucky because not only did he have me in his life, and it still almost didn't make a difference. There were so many other people who I have relationships with that also surrounded themselves around Trey. But this film clearly shows how that was by chance, and it shows how other kids, without that interruption, it leads them right to the path of juvenile hall and prison and sometimes even death.
Just if I can add to that, like from my perspective as a white man making this film, I was completely blindsided by what happened with Trey, who was Eric's son. And what I thought was going to happen based on my own experiences as a crime reporter and, you know, with the juvenile justice system and the criminal justice system, is that we basically, especially here in the Bay Area, where we kind of like to think of ourselves as like a bastion of progressive thinking, and I actually am kind of a direct, you know, directly descended from people who work in social justice. My dad is a mediator. He's trained countless judges in the Bay Area and lawyers and the people who make up the system. So when I heard about what happened with Trey, that he'd been arrested wrongfully, I thought it was just a matter of time before the system would reorient itself to Trey and recognize that it had arrested the wrong person, especially when they would meet his father and hear about this man who was basically doing this heroic work in the schools and raising his son. And that's the opposite of what actually happened. And from the moment that they arrested Trey, they turned a 15-year-old black boy who had no priors on his record, who was a really good student, had been a good student throughout his life, into some kind of criminal monster. And the testament of that is that by the time he got into jail and he started saying things like, I don't belong here, this isn't right, the jail guard, rather than saying, well, maybe he doesn't belong here, maybe this isn't right, treated him as hostile, and three guards beat him. And so what happens to a 15-year-old kid who's raised by a father who says, there can be justice, and I'm going to create a container of justice in our household, but when he becomes old enough to be perceived as a threat in society at large, there's nothing that Eric, as a loving, caring father who's highly involved in his son's life can do to protect him from that. And for me, my heart, this film broke my heart. It's completely shifted my orientation to the Bay Area, which I still believe is a very just place for me and for people that look like me. What I saw happen with Trey and what the viewers will see happen with Trey, because they'll get to meet him before he gets arrested and before any of this stuff happens. And they'll get to see him in his home with his father and this beautiful relationship that this father and son had, and how that relationship, the system did everything it could to sever it and to break it up and to put distance between father and son. And everything that you can expect that you've heard about happening with young black boys, the suspensions leading to expulsions, the expulsions leading to jail time, the jail time leading to X, Y, and Z. These things all happen in a matter of a year in Trey's life.
What changes did you start to see in your son, Trey, after he was arrested? Was there any effect on your relationship with him as well?
Nothing as far as our relationship changed. I think that it developed the way it was going to develop, whether he was arrested or not. But the things that changes that I did see in Trey was Trey started smoking weed. And he wasn't ever like a really defiant kid to me. But to other adults, he would lash out immediately when he felt like he was being disrespected without a discussion. And the film portrays some moments like that where he's in school and he just lashes out because simple things like he asked him to take off his hoodie. Trey became more socially aware of the things that were going on around him, and it started to piss him off a little bit. But being 15 years old, not having a moral compass to navigate through was troubling. Plus, he's an activist at his core. So if there was any resentment at all, he would watch his friends not have the things that he has and still get in the same kind of trouble. But then he's able to go to this cushiony life, which isn't a cushiony life, but in comparison, he's got a television and a bedroom and a PlayStation and that kind of stuff, and his friends didn't have that. And not only did they have those material things, they didn't have their father. So if there was any kind of rebellion, it was against the thing that he wanted to fight for, which was the things that he got all the time and he wanted his friends to have all the time. So it may have been a little resentment toward me because I was there and he couldn't fully be an activist in that way where he could say, I know what you're going through.
There is a moment where Trey says, my dad couldn't protect me when I went to jail. And you feel the emotional weight of that. That was a harsh realization for a young Trey to realize that this man who he thought would be able to have his back and protect him, coming to realize that for all the good that you're doing in society, your hands were tied in that moment. How do you think that felt for Trey?
Probably the biggest letdown of all time. Like, Trey did look to me as somebody who not only in the house could problem solve. I mean, we were in Hurricane Katrina and had to get on the roof and we survived that. And I kind of led the charge being one of the only men around, and Trey was there to witness that. And for him to actually be in real danger in real time and watching me do everything in my power, use all of the resources that I have to be able to help him, and there was absolutely nothing I could do. In fact, I was able to get Angela Davis to go visit him in jail, bring him some books, and none of that stuff mattered. And he's seen that stuff matter before. But when it came to him, nothing mattered. He had spent that time in jail. And it seemed as if he had gotten harassed more after that happened. So he would get questioned by the police every now and again. So he had to realize quick that once you get your mustache, they look at you a little differently.
For both of you, what, if anything, was hard about making this film?
You want to start, Eric, or me? Everything.
I guess for me, this film begs you to have a conversation after this film. And there's not a lot of things that you watch on television that make you want to call somebody and say, just watch this thing. Tell me what you think about this particular thing. And the way that happened was I had to be in a relationship with this Jewish man. And those conversations about whiteness come up all the time, like even with his own family. One of the most difficult conversations Cassidy and I has had is when Cassidy told me while Trey was in jail that if he'd had a son, his son would never have to go through that. And realizing that he's white. And how do you sit in space with somebody with that much privilege to be able to foresee a champion in a situation where you're being defeated? And over and over again, Cassidy and I toured this film, and we often run across situations where, for me, his whiteness shows up. And, I mean, it's not the hardest thing in the world because we're friends, but as far as us creating this film, I think it's more than just a film. Like, creating this movement, it's opened my eyes to a lot of ugly things about the world and how we were purposely raised different. So somehow we won't be equal. So somehow we won't be able to sit at the same table. And I think that's the hardest thing. Like, I was closed-minded to a lot of things before this film. There was nothing hard about the process. The process was easy because of the relationship.
You made it easy, Eric. Just chiming in. I mean, Eric is a master relationship builder, and he had to figure out I don't think anybody else could have done what he did, which was, A, to make himself vulnerable and to open up his life to me, even when things got real. Well, a lot of people would said, okay, this film just came to an abrupt ending when that first call came from Trey in jail. I think most people would have shut me out, and I couldn't blame them. Eric kept me there because he walked his talk, and he believed deeply in the work that he's doing, and he's striving, not perfectly, but striving to embody it in his personal life. And so if he's about vulnerability and honesty and candor and relationship building, to shut somebody out as a filmmaker or at that point a friend out because things are getting too real, it would have showed that there was an edge to how far you can go with this stuff. And that was a challenging time for us. But ultimately, the end game was me developing so much more of a deep respect for Eric, not just as a practitioner of restorative justice, but as a man and as a friend.
Okay, so I feel like if I keep asking questions, I run the risk of giving the whole film away. So finally, what would be one or two things you guys want for people to take away after they watch Circles?
I think that it's not one or two things. I think it's just one thing. I think that I want people to want to have a conversation. And that conversation leads into so many other things. This film isn't just about relationships between a father and a son. It's also about race relationships. It's also about men and women relationships and how we've lost focus on equal rights for women and equal rights for transgender. This film touches on so many things, and the only thing that you have to do is have the conversation.
Support for Race and Ethnicity Reporting is provided by The Doman Company.